1 Samuel chapter 11. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 11 and 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voice and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. He took a yoke of oxen, hewed them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Hallelujah. Well, I like these scriptures. I like these scriptures. Saul's just become the new king of Israel. He has just been anointed by God and is there to reign over Israel. He had went back towards his home, hadn't really set up a kingdom yet. But Saul is down there with the herds down in the field. And the Ammonites came up against the city of Jabesh Gilead. And the men of Jabesh Gilead realized that there's no way we can defeat Nahash and the Ammonites. There's no way. There's just too many of them. And so we don't know what we're going to do. So what they decided to do is they said, let's make a covenant. Let's make a treaty that we'll serve you and you'll leave us alone. We'll no doubt pay tribute to you or I give money to you, but you won't destroy our cities and you allow us to live right here in our cities. Nahash came out to them and he said, no, I'm not going to do it on your terms. But he said, there's one way that I'll do it. He said, that is, if I can thrust out of the right eye of all of the men, poke out their right eye, and lay it for a reproach upon Israel. You know, their bow and arrows and their spears, you always use your right eye to sight with. And he said, if I can thrust out the right eyes, he said, then I'll make a covenant with you. Well, the men of Jabesh, of course, didn't want to do this. They thought, what are we going to do? They looked around, and they probably had enough food, had enough water in the city to last maybe a week. And so they told the men, Nahash the Ammonite, they told him, said, give us 7 days, and we're going to send out messengers and see if anybody will come help us. And if at the end of 7 days nobody's shown up, then we'll come out and you'll be able to poke out the right eye of every man of Jabesh Gilead. Well, what a terrible place to be in. Just an anxious 7 days that we've got 1 week and we're all going to lose our right eyes unless something happens in the
next week. Well, the men of Gibeah went down to Saul and told the tidings. Saul heard about it, and the Spirit of God stirred him up. He began to draw all of Israel together to go down and save the men of Jabesh-Gilead. 330,000 they gathered together to go down to Jabesh-Gilead. But it's going to take them a little while to get everybody together and to get all ready and march all the way down there. And so, I like verse 9. They said unto the messengers, thus shall ye say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight on you're going to get help before it gets too hot. You're going to get help before it gets too hot. He said, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you're going to have help. Hallelujah. You're going to get help before it gets too hot. I know sometimes we get in those places like these men of Jabesh-Gilead where it seems like there's only so far that you can go. You know, they talked about Brother Simpson Diver needing to find a house. There will come a day when they say get out. That day will come and you won't be able to put it off any longer. There have been some of you that you have faced things and went through problems and faced trials that really there was a cutting off point and you really had to have help by a certain time. But I want to tell you here today that God will never allow you to go beyond that point without sending the help that you need. Oh, God is faithful. He's faithful. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, right to the jumping off point, above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I want to preach to you tonight that before it gets too hot, you're going to get the help that you need from God. You just go ahead and hold on. You just go ahead and seek God. And before it gets too hot, you're going to get that help. In this verse, in 1 Samuel 11, 7 days, and the men of Jabesh-Gilead in verse 10 told Nahash the Ammonite, tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow is the day. They didn't get help on day one. They didn't get help on day two. They didn't get help on day three. They didn't get help on day four. No help on day five. No help on day six. You know, you can get kind of anxious when it gets that way. And you really want God to move. But I want to tell you, God doesn't always have to move on your schedule. God doesn't always need to move just when you want Him to move. But God knows when it's going to get too high. God knows when it's going to get to the point that you're not able to bear it. And He will make that way of escape before you get down to that point. He will bring you through. 6 days it went by. And no deliverance. Tomorrow's the day we're going to lose our eye. Tomorrow is the day. And they go out to the men of the Ammonites and they say, tomorrow we'll give up. Tomorrow we can't go any longer. But they had a promise from the king that tomorrow, before the sun is hot, you're going to get help. And you just go ahead and hold on to God. You just go ahead and believe God. You just go ahead and serve God because you're going to get help before it gets too hot. Oh, yeah. In Isaiah 43:2, he said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Before it gets too hot, when you're walking through the fire, it makes me think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down there in that furnace. And you know what the king did? He said, let's heat it up seven times, just like the 7 days right here. He said, heat it up one time, and heat it up another time, and heat it up another time. And every time it got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, until it seemed like nobody would be able to make it. In fact, the men that threw him in, every one of them died because of the heat. But I want to tell you, up there when they got in the fire, right there in the midst of the heat, they got help before it got too hot. That king looked over in there and he said, I see four men loose and walking around, and the fourth one is like the Son of God. You're going to get help before it gets too hot.
Oh yeah.
As it's heated up, as the days go by, as the problems you face get worse and worse and worse, until you think you can't take it, God knows when it's going to be too hot. Sometimes I wish God would ask me when it was too hot. When have you been in this trial long enough? I wish God would ask me, when have you suffered and struggled long enough? When have you done it? Oh, I'd tell him right now sounds like a good time to me to get it over with. Right now sounds like a good time to me, Lord. Just to end all of this. But you know what? God knows. He knows what I can bear. He knows what will bring the most glory to God. He knows what will lift up the name of Jesus and bring the most glory to heaven. And all I need to do is get my eyes set on God and say, God, you've never failed me yet. You've never let me down. You've never, Lord, one time ever failed to deliver on your promise. And Lord, I know right now that you're not going to do it this time. I'm going to hold on no matter how hot it gets. I'm going to hold on no matter how bad it gets. You're going to get help before it gets too hot. Just hold on to God. Just go ahead and believe God, and God's going to see it through.
Those disciples out in that storm on the sea, the Lord said, y'all go ahead. They went all night. They fought that storm. They battled that storm. And in the fourth watch, sometimes we get a little anxious and we want the Lord to come in the first watch. We want the Lord to step through right when we need the Lord to step through, or we think we do. But I want you to know that sometimes the Lord waits a little while. Sometimes the Lord, when old Lazarus was in that tomb and dead, and the Lord didn't show up, and they said, Lord, you're late. Lord, if you'd have just been here. But I want you to know that right before it got where they couldn't take it, the Lord stepped on the scene and said, Lazarus, come forth. Come out of there. And on the fourth watch of the night, they looked out and there comes Jesus walking up on the sea, just in time, just when they needed him. When they went to him and said, Master, the other time in the bottom of the ship, they rowed and tried. But when they said, we perish. We're going to go under if we don't get help. Guess what? Right there, the Lord got up. He got up just in time. And he delivered them from the storm. And the storm you're battling, and the problems you're going through, just hold on to God. Just keep a grip on God. And just in time, before it gets too hot, you're going to get help.
Hallelujah.
We've all faced those times. We've all faced those problems. I've gave you biblical examples. Hebrew children. There's Daniel in the lion's den. There's the disciples out on the sea. Lots of biblical examples. But we've got historical examples of people that just believed God, and God did it just in time. How many heard of George Mueller? Built all the orphanages in England. One time had five orphanages with thousands of kids. And one morning they got up and there was no breakfast for the children. And Mr. Mueller had made an agreement with God. I'll never tell anybody but you, Lord, when I have a need. I'll never ask for help from anybody else. Mr. Mueller got up that morning and the cook said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Maybe some of them encouraged him. You know, so and so said if he ever needed help, just call on him. But Mr. Mueller said, "No, I'll call on God alone." He told the cook, he said, "You go ahead and you set the table. You go ahead and get it ready." And they called the children in and they came in and sat down at an empty table. And Mr. Mueller said, "Let's bow our heads and let's thank God for the food." And there's a knock on the door. And standing there at the door was a baker that said, "Mr. Mueller, sometime in the middle of the night, God woke me up. And I've been baking bread since 4 o'clock this morning. And that seemed like something told me that Mr. Mueller and the children need bread down at the orphanage." And right there, they bowed their head and I thanked God for the food. Guess what happened? God came through. God delivered. I want to tell you, God will do it for you. If he did it for George Mueller, just go ahead and depend on him. Just go ahead and count on him. And God will do it for you. I can tell you times I've heard Dad talking about historical examples. He's about as historical as we got here. So I'll just use him. I remember him telling the story of when we were pastoring. I started to let you tell this, but I was afraid I wouldn't get it back. I remember when him telling the story, we was pastoring. He was pastoring in Sandusky, Ohio, and the cupboards got to running empty. And I've heard him tell this several times. And he said Mom would tell him, "Jimmy, we're out of that. Jimmy, we just ran out of that." And the next day she said, "Well, that's the last of that. And Jimmy, there's no more of that." And I believe you had revival fixing to start, didn't you? Had an evangelist coming. Brother Lance, hardly any food in the house. I mean, they was in trouble. And this lady, I believe, called and said, I'm cleaning out my basement. Said, I got a bunch of old junk in my basement. And said, if you'll come haul it, that's right. Said, if you'll come haul this old junk off, you can just have it. And so Dad took what little bit of money he had and put gas in the car and thought, well, I'll go down here. It's probably a bunch of trash and I'll haul it off for her. And there goes the rest of my money in the gas tank. Well, it got down there, and these people, I believe, used to own a pizza place or something of that nature, and they closed it down. And down in the basement of her house, she had stacks of trays, serving trays, and she had stacks of pizza pans, and big old pressure cookers, and all kinds of stuff like that. And she told Dad, as she said, if you'll just haul it off, you can have every bit of it. And Dad loaded it up in the car. I believe it took him a couple trips maybe to get it all. And he stopped by a restaurant and said, "Do you need any trays? I've got some, I'll sell you." And he sold him the trays. And somebody gave him $25 or $35 for a pressure cooker and added it all up. And when the revival started, there was money to buy groceries and money to feed an evangelist on him. And listen, this is not something that God did back just for George Mueller. But this is something God did for us right here. And I want to tell you that God will do the same thing for you here tonight if you just hold on to God.
Yes, sir.
But as glad as I am to be able to tell his stories, I need to tell you about some of my stories.
All right.
We were pioneering the church there in Lawton. Talking about building a church, Brother Lynch. You ought to try building one with no people and no money. That gets rough. We was trying to build a church. Just had very few people coming. I had the concrete for the floor. We was going to pour it. And some men from another church said, we'll help you pour it. Such and such day. I didn't have no money to pay for the concrete. And I called the concrete place and he said, well, this is the 15th of the month. You get the concrete now. We'll bill you on the 1st of the month. And you'll have until the 31st of the month to pay for it. And so I looked at the calendar. I've got 45 days to come up with $4,000. I said, let's pour it. And so we poured the floor. Well, I had ordered some trusses for the roof. We just built a small building, seat about 100. I ordered some trusses for up on the roof. And the guy told me, said, that's going to take me 2 months to get these trusses ready. And just have a check when I deliver them. And this was probably 20 or 30 days after we poured the floor. And so I thought, well, I've got to the end of this month to get the money for the concrete. And that'll give me nearly another month to try to find it for the trusses. And so I said, go ahead and build them and call me when they're ready. Well, I got to looking at the calendar. I got down to a Friday. I looked at the calendar and Monday or Tuesday, I believe it was the 31st of the month. And I owed for this concrete and I had no money to pay for it. And I really believed God. You know, I had some credit. I could have went and borrowed it if I'd have had to, but I sure didn't want to do that. And so I looked at it and it was Friday and I said, what am I going to do? Well, the phone rang and I picked it up. It's the guy from the trust place. And he said, you know, I had a little job, a slow time, and said we was able to go ahead and run those trusses. I want to bring them to you on Tuesday. I said, just have me a check ready. And I said, oh, it's a month early. And he's won the check. He said, well, we just happened to get them ready early. And so I'm going to bring them to you on Tuesday. And I began to pray and seek God and say, God, I've got $8,000 that's due Tuesday, Lord, and I don't have any of it. What am I going to do, Lord? How am I going to meet this? And so we went to church Sunday and went to church Sunday night. We weren't having a night service at the time because we weren't in our building yet. And so I went up to a neighboring church for Sunday night. I walked in, I sat in there. After church, a man walked up to me and he said, how's the church going? I said, well, it's going good. We got the concrete poured. I trust it'll be here Tuesday. That's all I ever said to him. Well, he walked away and a few minutes later he came back and he pulled out a check and he said, here's a little something to help you on it. And he slid it into my pocket and I thought, well, anything's better than nothing. And so we got out and got in the car and went to drive down the road. And as soon as we got out of sight of the church, I flipped on the dome light and I pulled out the check and said, well, how much is it, Rhonda? And she began to stutter. And she said, I've never seen a check quite this big before. I said, let me have it. And driving down the road, I looked down and there was a check for $10,000 right in the nick of time. God did it. I want to tell you, go ahead. Whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, you go ahead and believe God. You just trust God. And I guarantee you, before it gets too hot, you're going to get help. I went Tuesday and paid for concrete. I delivered the check. Went to the man Tuesday morning. And when he brought the trusses, and we shouted glory and kept on building the church, God can do it for you. God can do it. Time went on. We had the church just about done. Came to church one Wednesday night. The only real faithful members I had came up to me and said, Brother Vance, we're moving out of town. We're moving 3 hours away, so we'll no longer be coming to the church. Just about had the building done. I lost my only members. Man, I was downhearted. I was discouraged. I said, Lord, how are we ever going to build a church Well, I need people. We got a building, but no people, Lord. How are we going to build a church? And so the church that we now attend when we're home, about an hour away, was in revival with a man named Ronnie Baker. And I told Rhonda, I said, we need to go to revival. We walked in, sat down in the back of that church. We drug in and sat down in that church. We was at the end of a rope. We didn't know what in the world to do. Ronnie Baker got up and began to preach. He read that scripture where there's out in the sea, and they looked over, and there was the man on the shore that said, cast again. And he said, I want to preach tonight on the man on the shore. And he began to preach on the man on the shore. I sat back there and bawled the whole time he preached. He said, the man on the shore said, you haven't got anything left. The man on the shore said, you haven't got anything. He said, but the man on the shore said, cast again. Cast again. There's more fish out there. And I never talked to him. I got there maybe a minute or two late. I never spoke to him. I had not told one person that those folks were leaving my church. As he stood behind that pulpit that night, he got up and he said, listen to me, preacher. They've told you this week, it's our last service, and we're leaving the church, and we're not going to be coming back. He said, but I want to tell you what the man on the shore said. The man on the shore said, woo! The man on the shore said, I cast again. I throw out the net again. Wow! Hallelujah! And you know what I did, Brother Lynch? I went back to my pulpit, and I climbed in my pulpit, and I cast again, and the fish started coming in. I want to tell you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always, even to the very end. He's going to help you. He's going to deliver you. But just hold on to God.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Oh!
You're going to get help.
I want to tell you one more story, and I'm going to close. It's before we moved to Oklahoma. I just started the Sunday school literature. Wasn't doing very well, Brother Lynch. Seemed like everything I started doesn't do very well when you start it. I don't know what the deal is. It wasn't doing very well. We'd went off the evangelistic field. We'd settled down to do the literature. We'd had a third child, Reed, our little boy. He was, how old, 6 months? When we took him to the doctor about the, was he a year? 6 months or a year old. And we noticed the back of his head was growing a big old lump at the back of his head. Big knot. We took him to the doctor. The doctor examined him and said, I need to prepare you parents. Your child has got a brain tumor. Said, we're going to do a CAT scan, or was an MRI. I don't know, one of those tests. He said, we're going to do this before the surgery so we know what we're dealing with. He said, but I'm positive there's a tumor. And he went ahead and wanted to schedule the surgery to open his brain up, his head up, and remove this tumor. We had been married 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know, not very long. And, man, it just crushed us. It crushed us. And we started calling people. They called friends in Oklahoma. People called and said, pray for this baby. Pray for this baby. This brain tumor, it wasn't just about a week that they had him scheduled for this CAT scan. The doctor said it was positive, it's a tumor. Take him in. And so we took him in. They did the CAT scan, and of course, you know, they don't tell you nothing right then. The radiologist has got to read it, and the doctor, all of that. We heard back from the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I don't understand quite what went on here. He said, I'm positive there was a tumor there. He said, in fact, he said, I can show you in the CAT scans where the tumor pushed his skull out. He said, I can show you in the CAT scan the hole where the tumor was.
All right.
And I said, what? And he said, what? He said, I don't know how to explain it. He said, but Mr. Vance, there was something inside that baby's head that had pushed that skull out, but it's not there anymore. Woo! I'll tell you something, God can do it. And you know what? You're my son today. If you walk up behind my son, Reed, and you run your hand down the back of his head, you can still feel that knot sticking out the back. We've had him to the doctor different times, and they felt and said, oh, what in the world happened right here? And they've even done other scans since then and checked it out and said, we can see where something pushed it out, but there's nothing there. I want to tell you, God can do it. When you get in those hot places, just hold on to God and see what God will do. What happened right here in 1 Samuel chapter 11? He said, by the time the sun behind you shall have help. They said, tomorrow we'll give up. If we don't get help by tomorrow, we're going to have to give up. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the men in three companies. And they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Woo! They fought them, and they fought them, and they brought deliverance right to the very hottest spot of the day. Don't you know the angel of the Lord camps round about those that fear Him? You go ahead and serve God. You go ahead and believe God, and God will deliver. God in the midst of the heat of the day will see you through. Why don't you stand and praise Him? Why don't you stand and praise Him? Woo! He can do it. You hear me? He can do it. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! I don't know what battle you're facing. I don't know if you're on day one. I don't know if you're on day two, three, four, five. You might be on day six. You might be in the night of day six. But I love that verse that says weeping. Weeping may endure for the night. Day six, the sun went down, no help in sight. Day six, the sun went down, no deliverance. Tomorrow, we're going to lose our eyes. Tomorrow is the day. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy. On the morrow, at the morning watch, they heard hoofbeats. They heard the marching. They heard as the people of God, 330,000 strong, began to march over that hill in three different companies. Maybe one for the Father. Maybe one for the Son. Maybe one for the Holy Ghost. And they marched over that hill and began to fight the battle until the heat of the day. If God did it for them, God can do it for you. Hallelujah. You facing a battle? You facing a battle? You got a problem? I know, problem solver. You can get help before it gets too hot. As she sings, if you've got a problem, I don't care how big, I don't care how small, if you've got a problem,
Lord came,
why don't you come up here and let's pray for you.
He always does.
Why don't you line this front? I want you to line this front. If you've got a problem, just line this front. Come on, Brother Lynch. Come on. You got a problem. Any kind of problem. Health, financial, spiritual, whatever it may be. How'd you come and line across here?
He had done no crime. He had to pay.
You're going to get help.
before it gets too hot. Come on, the rest of the church, let's gather in behind them. Come on, let's seek God.